Father, we thank you for this morning. As we sit here this morning or stand here, whatever, that we have the knowledge that you are alive and that you love us and that you are here for us, that you have a plan for us, that you're working that plan out, that it's a perfect plan, that it's good, that nothing that comes against us can destroy us. And Lord, we come to you this morning just asking that you would reveal your truth to us, that you would show your face to us, that we would see your beauty, that we would see you high and lifted up, Lord, that you would take our thoughts and take our strength and our energy and our attention. We would be lifted up into the heavenlies, Lord. And that we would embrace all that you've set before us, all that is in our life, Lord, that we would embrace it, Lord. We need you so desperately, and we're so grateful that you're ready, willing, and able to make yourself available to us, Lord. And so we come to you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out. If you don't have one, there should be one in the back of the seats. Turn to the book of James. It's one of the last few books of your Bible. It's like the, I think, fifth to last or something. Sixth to last. Has anybody ever gone through a trial? Or, yeah? A few people. Is anybody going through a trial now? Have you ever prayed in a trial and you just felt like not sure if it's really working or not? Have you ever thought, well, you know, I see the importance of prayer and there's an understanding that I have, but yet I still feel like I'm stuck in the same situation, or I'm not sure if this is all working. Well, if that's sort of the way you felt or the way you have felt, this morning we're going to talk about praying through trials. And I'm really excited. I'm really encouraged because as we look at praying through trials, there are some things in regards to prayer that I think will really open up some truth and open up some strength as we go through trials. The dynamic of prayer is given to us, given to believers as a way to get through, but we have to understand some things as well. And so as we look at prayer, there's this theme running through the book of James, which we just started last week, and it's about real faith. It's about a faith that's not superficial, a faith that's not something that we make up in our own mind. But you see, when we're Christians, we have a real faith, and that means something. It means that we have something that's different than before we were Christians or somebody that's not a Christian. Faith, then, when it's real, as James starts off with, it gets tested. It gets tested. Peter picked up on that whole idea in 1 Peter 1:6. He says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved for various trials." Suggesting that there's a need for trials in our life. And he says that the genuineness, or the realness, if you will, of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's an intention there that we know God's in control. We know He's working all things out. We understand He is sovereign and over all, and we understand that He's good. And so we have these trials in our life that come, and there is an intention that real faith will come forth out of our trials, that especially the day that we stand before Christ, that our faith would be so pure that it would be independent of external needs, and then it would be that which, no matter what, gives honor, praise, and glory to God. That's what pure faith does. And it takes testing of our faith to get through all the stuff that's not real faith. That's what Peter's saying. And he goes on, he says, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So we can gather now, as we look at the book of James, we have these themes. The overall theme of the book of James is real faith. Peter says real faith will be tested. So James starts off in verse 1, chapter 1, talking about trials. Appropriate, right? If we're going to talk about real faith, we have to right out of the gate talk about that faith is going to be tested. And so we talked about that last week. We talked about real faith is tested. Peter says that real faith is tested, so it brings forth the reality of real faith and gets rid of the things that are not real. So then we see this way through. Notice in James, we looked at this last week. Look at verse 2, James 1, verse 2. So this is what we looked at last week. So he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, right off the bat, we have to see that is something that's not normal for us. This must be something that's bigger than me, something that's going to take real faith. It's going to take something supernatural. It's going to take something I don't have. And there's no doubt that God puts us in places where all we have is Him, where we can't count on anything but Him, and we need Him to accomplish what He's set forth in us and through us. And if He doesn't, we can't do it. So you have to ask yourself, if God was taken out of your life, would your life be different? Or it'd be just exactly the same? Have we learned sort of to do life without Christ? Have we mistaken stuff for Christ? Have we found security, comfort, safety in other things? We all do. We all do. And that's why those things are tested. And that's why God puts them through the fire, because as Christians, there will be a day that we all stand before God at the Bema seat of Christ, which is a place where we will be judged not for salvation, but for rewards. And it says that we'll be our stuff, the things we've done, it'll like go through a fire. And the real stuff will go through the fire and remain. The fake stuff will burn up. It won't exist anymore because it's fake. And so you see the genius of God saying, you know, I'm going to give you opportunities to stand before the Bema seat of Christ to have your faith tested now, that real things come out of faith. So when he says, now count it all joy, he's not saying that whenever we're hurting and grieving and suffering and in pain, that we like that. There's a word for that, isn't it? Like a sadist or a masochist or somebody who it's not saying you're supposed to like that. He's saying count something, consider something. Consider as a believer, you're going through something that he speaks about next, that you have to sort of reason through that whatever you're going through is not random, is not without purpose, is not unknown to God. So notice what he says next. He says, knowing in verse 3, is knowing. So maturity in Christ tells us, well, now we know things about our trials. That's what we're here. That's what we're doing. We know things about our trial. And that's supposed to help us have joy. So we know things about our trial. Okay, great. Here's what we know. We know that our trials, in verse 3, are all about the testing of our faith. That's the whole deal. It's all about our faith. That's what's going to be there at the end. That's what's going to get us through life. Paul said to the Galatians, "The life I now live, I live by faith." So we're living by faith. So our trial, our test, the whole deal is about our faith. It's about our faith being tested. It's about what Peter said, our faith being tested so it can come forth as real faith. Okay, well that helps, right? So that takes us to an understanding that's beyond the actual mechanism of our suffering. We all have different ones, and basically they're pretty common to everybody, I guess. But whatever it is, remember, it's not about the mechanism. It's about how we respond to it. How is the proper way to respond to a test or a trial? If it's all about faith, then what's the right way to respond? That's for you guys. Raise your hand. It's by faith. That's how you respond to a test of your faith. There's just one way to respond. How? And what is that way? Faith. That's just one way. So it's not about the thing. Those things will be varied, multiple, all kinds of crazy things. And if it's not that thing, it'll be another thing. But what's the constant for us? Faith. It's the same across the board. So we don't need to say, well, this thing is harder than this thing, and this thing is bigger than this thing, and if it wasn't this thing, everything would be easier. No, the whole thing is about faith. Because a test or a trial is a testing of our faith. So faith is what brings us through the trial. So that helps, right? So now we know something, and now we can consider it or count that thing. We can factor what we just said about our trials, whatever we're going through. We can look at that, and we can say, okay, I know some things, and now I understand, and now I'm looking at whatever I'm going through in that way. So that helps. So then he says, in verse 4, he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. So that's where we left off last week. So as we consider what we're going through, we count it, we factor in a bigger picture, and then we know some things, we have information. And then we can apply that information to whatever we're going through, but then he says, now we have to let the thing work itself out. We have to allow the trial to do what it's meant to do, the test or the trial, that we allow it. So there's our participation in whatever we're going through is one of surrender. It's one of allowing God to do what He needs to do, knowing that He knows what's best for us. And so he says this word patience, which means in the literal language, it's the ability to stay in the fire, not to run away. So that's what God is doing. Another aspect of our testing is that God is developing in us the ability to stick in there in the midst of the trial, instead of trying to find relief, running from it, escaping from it. And that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of our prayer life, and I'm including myself, is praying that we wouldn't have to go through the thing that God, Lord, please change my situation or my circumstance. And how ironic that is because when we're praying, God, change my circumstance, God is using the circumstance to change us. And we're praying that we don't want to be changed because we want to get out of the situation, basically. So he's saying, stay in there. Let it happen. So we're counting it. We're knowing what's happening. And we're resisting the natural inclination to run away. And let me just say this. That's a place where I have found, just by observation, and this is just my opinion, you could have your own on this, a lot of Christians kind of hang out here. The letting part, they're good in the first couple parts. I'm counting it. I'm thinking about it. I know some stuff about it. But I don't like it, so I'm out of here. I'm going to find an easier road. I'm going to compromise a little bit. I'm not going to keep going forward. I'm going to back off of things a little bit. I don't want to do this, basically. And I believe this is the vast wasteland of many Christians. I know that's biblical, too. That's what the children of Israel did, right? Wilderness Christians. They're just hanging out in the wilderness. Better to hang out in the wilderness of familiarity than to press forward by faith into the uncomfortable but abundant. This is a vast wasteland of Christianity. So he says, now let patience, let God work in you the inner strength to remain faithful regardless of external stimulus. Does that make sense? When that happens, God is working towards completeness in your life as a Christian. What does that mean? Maturity. Maturity is the strength that's able to be anchored so deeply in God that finds satisfaction, fulfillment, peace, joy, and love in God to the extent where it's independent of external situation, circumstance, and stimuli. You're just good in God. Doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. So does that make sense? That's great, isn't it? And then you may be like, well, okay. Well, you said that last week and I tried it, but it was really hard. I have a kiss for you if you need one. Yes, it is hard. But today, we have a tool that when it's applied correctly, and I must say, I've misapplied this tool incorrectly a lot. This section of Scripture that we're going to look at. And notice what he says next then. So this is what we're going to actually deal with today. So, and this is why I just love going through the Bible verse by verse, because it's the context that's so important. And when you're going through a book, you're able to just really pick up the flavor and the feel of it, where if you just lift a certain scripture out of the Bible and just teach that, it's harder to really capture the full context of what's going on. So watch how it's easy to take this scripture, just isolate it from what we just talked about. He says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, you know, it's easy just to take that scripture and say, I'm praying for wisdom. Wisdom's good, right? The whole book of Proverbs is about what? Wisdom. And so this is awesome. We pray for wisdom. But what is the context here? The whole point of this is what? The whole point is that we would have wisdom and we would pray for wisdom when we go through trials. Why? So we could have joy in our trials. That's the whole point. So watch this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. And then verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That may be why the prayer through your trials is not working out too good. And prayer can be an exercise in futility if it's not properly applied. So here's what we have. So we have counted all joy. We know things and we're letting the thing happen and we're just going to continue on in faith and let God do what he wants to do. And then now we're presented with this tool. See, the reason we're presented with this tool is because James knows how we all get to certain stages of that and how susceptible we are to just stopping. Now, think about how good God is and the depth of what he wants to do in our life and falling short of that. That scares me. If we were able to see the storehouse of what God has for our life, I think we would all be very anxious to get there. But then if we saw the road that we had to take to get there, we might not be as anxious. And I know I'm glad God didn't tell me all the things that I had to go through to get there. I'm glad I didn't know that, or I probably wouldn't have gone there. Be that as it may, so now we have this tool. But you have to see how important it is to apply it correctly. So the first thing, if you're taking notes, talking about praying through trials, the first thing is to pray for wisdom. You know what typically happens when we go through a trial, we get hit by something, we panic usually. If we're Christians, we may start to try to process things through what we know of God. A lot of times our prayers in the beginning are why and no and I don't want to do this and can somebody else do this? Don't make me be like Job. Can I do another thing? Is there some? I don't like all this stuff. That's a lot of our initial prayers. So this is what James is saying. He's saying, if any of you lacks wisdom, the structure of that in the original language is not like some may have enough wisdom to do it. He's basically saying we all need wisdom. And wisdom really is how we should direct our prayers now. So that may be something different. So wisdom, so when we go through something, we're counting it as something that could be joy, and we're knowing God is working his plan, and we're going to let God do his thing, and now we're going through it, and now we're praying. But I know a lot of times I've not prayed for wisdom. I've prayed, well, God, tell me how this is all going to work out. Tell me what this is all about. Give me understanding so I can have faith in my understanding. Don't we want to know all that because then it makes us feel better. If we know everything, then okay. A lot of it is we want to know it's going to be okay. We want to know there's a pot of gold at the end of this ugly rainbow. We want to know that, but see, that's not faith, is it? Knowing is not faith. Peter said, as we read earlier, we don't see, but we know. That goes beyond seeing because faith tells us things. Faith believes in things. So here's what we do first now if we're going through something. What we do is we pray for wisdom then. And we're going to talk more about the application of that. So we gear our prayers more towards being wise in our situation. And that then in turn becomes what we really need in a trial. We don't need anything else. We need specific wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? And here, this is important. It's one thing to have Bible knowledge. For if you've been sitting here for a little while, we go through the Bible, you know stuff about the Bible. If you've been here for a year, you probably know a lot of stuff in the Bible. If you come on Wednesday nights, you know a lot of stuff. But what he's saying is you don't need to just know a bunch of stuff. Wisdom, and this is where real faith comes in, wisdom takes the knowledge, takes the information, and is able to apply it to the situation. Using the knowledge in a practical sense. Do you see the difference? Do you see how a lot of times we stop at just knowledge and we think knowledge is enough? And we think if I know a bunch of stuff, then I'll be okay. But there has to be the application of that knowledge. And you find that that's a whole nother thing. And that's hard for us. Because now it's like someone having a sword in a case on their wall versus someone who's able to take that sword and wield it appropriately to their given situation, applying God's word to it and the actions that follow. That's what wisdom does. So wisdom is taking knowledge and making it useful. It's taking the knowledge from information in our head to action in our feet. And that's why he says when you're going through something, it's not enough just to know information, that you have to apply the information to the situation. And now you're getting somewhere. Now I'm getting somewhere. Now things are happening. See, a lot of times, especially the more information we have, we can think that that in and of itself is enough. And then we wonder why it's so hard. Because we think, well, just I know what's happening, I understand, but this is still really hard. And the next thing is we need to pray, God, give me wisdom now. Give me wisdom. And what happens when you pray that? You'll get it. If wisdom is the most important thing that we need to help our faith develop through trials, God says if you pray, which do you notice? He wants us to pray for that. That's important in our trials. So you say, how do I get through trials? Well, pray for wisdom. And notice what he says. When you pray for wisdom, he gives it liberally. It's like he's saying, all right, he's praying for wisdom. And God just opens up his storehouse of wisdom, and rivers of wisdom come flooding us, which I'm saying from the scripture is what we need in a trial. Amen. So don't think you need to get out of it. Don't think that someone else can do it for you. Don't think that there's another way to deal with it. Pray for wisdom. That is the answer. And when you pray, you get it. And you get it liberally, and you get it without approach. What does that mean? That means that God doesn't say, "You're an idiot. Why? What's wrong with you? Again? Really? You're praying again? When are you gonna?" God doesn't do that. That's reproach. And I have to admit, I do that sometimes with my kids. Like, really? Come on. Seriously? You're asking me that again? Don't you know this already? I've told you 100 times. God doesn't do that. Thank God, right? No reproach. You're praying, boom, there you go. And when you get it, that's what you need to go through a trial. You don't need a change of scenery. You don't need a greener grass. Someone once told me one time they had a ranch. And they had goats on their ranch. And the ranch was big, and they had these fences around their property. And they went back. They didn't live there full time. They went back, and all the goats were dead. And they had tried to eat the grass on the other side of the fence and stuck their head in there and got caught and starved to death. Moral of the story is grass is not greener on the other side. You get your head stuck. And God's saying, if you think escape's the answer, change of scenery is the answer, grass is greener the answer, it's not. Don't run from the great things that God wants to do. The answer is wisdom. Do you see that? And it's available to you through prayer. So then he says, he will give the wisdom to us if we ask. So, if we get anything out of this morning, let us respond to our trials and tests by praying for wisdom. That's some one thing we can take instead of all the other viable options. The thing about wisdom, four things about wisdom. So you say, well, why to pray for wisdom? Why is that such a big deal? First of all, when we pray for wisdom in a trial, we're praying for wisdom to see things spiritually. We have a tendency to look at things in just the here and now, look at things merely for what they look like in the current time, at the current time, in the present situation. When we pray for wisdom, we're praying that we can see things spiritually, a bigger picture, right? We can see beyond the thing to the thing, God. So praying for wisdom is to pray for spiritual understanding in our given situation. The second thing is that we pray for wisdom to know God's will. That's really important, because when we start to get hammered by things, there's a tendency in our flesh to want to do our own thing. Do you remember what the purpose of tests and trials are? Do you remember that? The testing of our what? Testing of our faith. There is going to be a tendency to handle your test or trial without faith. You're going to want to do that, is what I'm saying. You're going to want, that's because you think about it, if the testing of our faith is what trials is all about, Satan is involved in all that. What does he want us to do? To not have faith. To not act on faith. So he's going to tempt us with viable options that are not of God, not of the Spirit, not of what God is trying to do, so that now this test has caused us to get all fleshed out. And then when we start to make decisions based on what Satan is tempting us to do, then we're completely going down the wrong road. So important. So praying for wisdom is that we would see things spiritually, that we would know God's will in our situation, because there comes a point where we have to do stuff. We have to, you know, there may be something God is asking us to do, or we have to make a decision. So wisdom says that we, being surrendered to God, would pray that we would know what His will is in a given situation and act accordingly. You see that? The third thing is that wisdom is something we pray for so that we will pray to learn and grow from our situation, not escape it. Wisdom prays, Lord, what are you showing me? What are you doing? What is this all about? And I can count it joy because you love me so much that you're doing great things, that had I not been in this trial, I would not have been able to have and get all the great things that you're doing in and through this trial. Basically saying that we are better off with the trial than without it. Do you believe that? So pray, Lord, help me to learn, help me to grow through this. And the fourth thing is that wisdom then turns to God for help. Wisdom then takes advantage of this situation and is able then to use the situation to draw closer to the Lord, to depend on Him, to lean on Him, to gain access to Him experientially that had we not gone through the test or trial, we wouldn't have been able to. There is a uniqueness in our trial. And it's all about the connection that is afforded to us with Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that's where our joy comes from. Amen. Trials bring out the connection that we have with Jesus Christ and develop that relationship in a way that could not happen any other way. So there is the reward. So pray for wisdom. The second thing is we see, and you may, up to this point, you may be saying, well, I kind of do that. You know, I'm counting things and I'm knowing things and I'm letting things and I'm praying, but it's still, you know, I'm still really struggling. Well, verse 6 might be for you. He says, all that's great, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So in regards to our praying then, we just saw that we have a promise of God that if we pray for wisdom, what will happen? That we'll get it. Without reproach, a lot of it liberally. But now he says, hey, sometimes we think just the act of praying is praying. It's not. The act of praying and muttering words and just saying random things in and of itself without faith is not going to do us any good. That's what he's saying here. Let him ask with faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What is he saying? The mere act of praying without believing still puts us at the mercy of outside forces. Like a wave driven and tossed by the wind. A wave is just hanging out. And the wind tells the wave where to go. And the wave goes. And he's saying our prayer life can be like that. We can pray, but without faith, we are still controlled by external circumstances, forces, things outside of us. Those things are still in operation in our life. And he says, when you pray, pray like a ship with a rudder and an engine that is taking you somewhere. Pray believing in God, trusting in God, knowing things about God. We pray with confidence and faith. And you know what's interesting? When we pray like that, what God wants to do is take our faith from, boy, I sure hope if I pray hard enough, it'll work out okay, to praying with excitement and enthusiasm and joy, because we know when we pray, we know it's going to happen. We know. So as I'm standing here before you today, there are a lot of things I don't know. A lot of things. There's a few things I do know. And that's all that really matters. So I know some things, and I put my faith in those things, and I let God work out the details of how those things come to be. So here's the thing. So a lot of times we pray with prayers, and God understands our weakness, and He understands our struggles. So don't mistake this to see that, you know, God's there casting aspersions on us because we're not praying 100% the way we think we should. But as Christians, there are things we can take to the bank. There are things we can take to the bank that we know for sure. It'd be hard not to be a Christian if we didn't know that Jesus was God. It'd be hard to be a Christian, basically impossible, I should say, if we didn't believe that God was in control, all-powerful, all-knowing, and God didn't care. So we know those things, and we pray that those things then would be things that we would count on and trust in the areas that we don't know. It's okay not to know. So a few things about praying in faith. So we pray for wisdom, and we pray with faith. The first thing is, when we're praying in faith, we're praying resting in God's character. You see, tons of stuff I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to have for lunch today. I don't even know when we're going to end this sermon. I don't know a lot of things. Keep it going. Children's church people might not like that, but I could. But my faith tells me that I'm resting in God's character, who He is. That's enough for me. And not to say I have this down. I'm not. I'm saying this is kind of what I've learned and what I go back to. Oh, yeah. God is good. God works all things together for good. God cares for me. He loves me. He's not looking to ruin me and destroy me and squash me and crush me. He loves me. So, okay, so I believe in that. So that helps. So I can keep going. Praying through is not only resting in God's character, it's by faith, we know that God has a plan now. That is so important. That is so important to factor in. That we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He knew beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. So we're like a workshop. And God is working. And He's working all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. great. Now, I should be able just to rest in that. God's character, God has a plan for me, but there's more. Praying in faith then says that all of God's working in my life is working toward an intended good. What happens when we bail out from that? We're bailing out from God's intended good. And you know what happens? God hasn't equipped us and enabled us to walk in the flesh. So we have to do that by ourselves. God's equipped us and enabled us to walk in the Spirit according to His plan and will give us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness in that plan. If we decide to bail from that plan, then we're going to have to experience life where God hasn't given us the grace to do the things that we are doing until we get back on track. The fourth thing, this is really important, I found for me, is that I would have the faith to have the right attitude. That I would go through this situation and circumstance because I know some things, because God has given me wisdom, that I would have the right attitude. Not having an Eeyore cloud over my head, everything's terrible, God hates me attitude. But I'll just keep going anyway because I love Him so much. But it's an attitude of expectancy, of God, you have better things. God, you're doing bigger things that you do exceedingly above all I can ask or think. And this is how you're doing it. Next is that we would have the faith to glorify God in our test and our trial. And the next thing, this is really important, that we'd have the faith, this is really hard, not to take matters into our own hands. When you get tested and tempted, that's what you're going to do. You're going to have a tendency to want to do that. You're going to have a tendency to want to fix it, control it, redirect it, have some way that I have this. And I want to encourage you, faith says you don't have to have it. Faith says it's much better for God to have it than to you to have it. And then the next thing, the last thing on this section, is that we would have the faith not to fear the future. What happens is we start to think, our mind goes crazy with thoughts of, what if this happens? What about this? I know this is going to happen. Faith says we don't have to deal with the future and we don't live by fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. We're not controlled by fear. So faith says, don't worry about the future. Don't be preoccupied with it. You know what? The future is really a figment of our imagination, right? There is no future. Why do you say that? Because when you get there, it's the present. It's gone. The future is not a reality. Live in the present by faith. Let God figure out the future. He's already there. Think about that. So God's already in our future. And then the last point. The last point is that it's so important to pray with a single mind. In verse 7, he says, For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man in all his ways. What does he mean? When we're at a place where we haven't surrendered our life to God, when we haven't settled the issue, when we're not resting in Him, and we still have, and that word double-minded is double-souled. John Bunyan called that Mr. Facing Both Ways in Pilgrim's Progress. Do you know what misery that is? I've been there before. Some of you may be there. It's just not where we haven't come to a place where we're just resting in God. We just want God. His will be done, not ours. When we are still pushing for our way, manipulating for our will, striving to make our kingdom come, and pushing for life to look the way we want it to look, you know what happens? We are double-minded. We are all over the place. And what he says is that we're a very unstable person. But the encouragement then is that we would resolve, if we haven't already, to make Jesus our Lord and our Savior. That we would resolve and have peace with the fact that we are a bondservant of Jesus Christ. It is up to Him to decide what gifts He gives me and how He uses them. It is up to Him to decide what trials come my way and which ones don't. I am free from all of those type of things so that I can simply live by faith, trusting in God for everything. And I can do that because I know God is so awesome, way better than me, no comparison, and His ways are perfect. You know what? I believe that. It doesn't matter how things look. It doesn't matter how things present themselves. Somebody with a single mind doesn't pay any attention to any of those things. They're paying attention with a laser focus to Jesus Christ and Him alone. So that's how we pray through. That's how we pray through trials. So you may say, I'm going to try this week. How do I know it's working? You want to know how you know it's working? When you can consider it all joy when you go through these various trials. Do you remember that's what the whole purpose of these prayers were? That's when you know you've really given over control of your life and all the situations and circumstances of life. And that means God is in control of your life. Awesome. That's where I want my future to be. And I hope you do too. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I have a feeling I'm not the only one that needed this message this morning. And I know that, like me, I'm sure many have had some challenges with their faith that they really have not done so well with. And I thank You that You are a concerned, compassionate, loving God who is speaking to all of us today and is saying, these trials can be negotiated with prayer, by faith, and You can consider them joy. And Lord, we realize that is so not like us. We need supernatural, divine help and intervention. And so, Lord, we present ourselves to You this morning without reservation. Anybody here this morning who would say that? Who would say, Lord, I just want to give my life to You. I'm thinking Christians here right now. And say, you know, I'm just giving my all to You, everything. I'm giving You my future. I'm giving You this trial. I'm giving You whatever I'm going through. And I'm just going to rest in You. And I can't wait to find out and see and watch You work this whole thing out. And I pray for anybody here who has never received by faith even the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. If anybody is here and they've never been forgiven of their sins, they've never receive that offer of Jesus Christ who did the work for us. I want to pray for anybody here who, if they were to die today, they wouldn't be sure if they would go to heaven or not. Anybody here would say, you know, I want to go to heaven. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Right where you are, right in your seat, by following a simple prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's your communication to God saying, I want to be saved. It's you saying, I am turning from the way I'm going, and I'm turning to God. So pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again from the dead. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk with you all the days of my life. And if you prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, the Bible says that you will be saved. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these people that I get to do life with. I thank you for your love. And we pray this all together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand. And we're going to worship the Lord. If anybody would like prayer about anything, if you ask Jesus into your heart this morning, we're going to have some folks back at my right in that back hall there. As we sing this last song, just feel free to make your way over there. Anything else you need prayer about, just put it before the Lord and let them pray for you. Hey, it costs about $4 million for a 30-minute spot during the Super Bowl. Prayer is free. Amen. God bless you guys.
Hallelujah. 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 Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet.
Thank you, Lord. What an awesome worship today. Awesome worship and awesome word. Amen. Well, I've been asked, we forgot to announce one announcement in the announcements. Ladies, if you're going to be going to the Bible study when? This Saturday. Good. Stop at the information desk. The books aren't in yet, but we put together the first two chapters last night on our kitchen table. So you can get them. Get your packets for Saturday night. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.